So let's read the translation to this poem. O Radha, O beloved of Madhava, O you who are worshipped by all the young girls of Gokula, all glories to you, all glories unto you. O you who dress yourself in such a way as to increase Lord Damodar's love and attachment for you. O Queen of Vrindavan, which is the pleasure grove of Lord Hari, O new moon who has arisen from the ocean of King Vrishabhanu. O friend of Lalita, O you who make Vishakha loyal to you due to your wonderful qualities of friendliness, kindness, and faithfulness to Krishna. O you who are filled with compassion, O you whose divine characteristics are described by the great sages, Sanaka and Sanatana. O Radha, please be merciful to me. So today we're going to talk about Srimati Radharani's appearance. So, Om Ganata Madandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Midikam Yena Tasmai Shigarave Maha. So, of course, Srimati Radharani and Krishna are eternally associated in the spiritual world, and Radharani is called the Adi Shakti of the Supreme Lord. Shakti, of course, means energy, and Krishna is called the Shakti Mam. That means the possessor of the energy. So Radharani is sometimes called the feminine counterpart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when I'm preaching in the Western world, I explain that Krishna consciousness is really in tune with modern feminism. And that really inspires people to take up Krishna consciousness. So because the traditional, not so traditional actually, but the Middle Eastern religions, they're very much centered on the he business, you know, that God is a supreme male, and you don't hear, frankly, anything. And even with Jesus Christ, and they sort of minimize the role of Mary Magdalene. I don't know if you know who Mary Magdalene is. Of course, they do extol the glories of Jesus Christ's mother, Mother Mary. But they actually try to just minimize, in general, they try to minimize the role of women, and of course, in the Catholic Church, they don't allow women to be priests. Even the latest Pope, who's quite a liberal person, is not allowing that. So, this is the Middle Eastern religion. And it's interesting, talking about India, for example, that what you find in India in terms of the chauvinism doesn't come from the Vedic tradition, it comes from the Muslims who actually invaded India. As you see in different countries like Afghanistan, where you have the Taliban, that if the girls wanted to get an education, sometimes they would throw acid in their faces. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of you have heard about this. I'm sure you've read about these things. Or, you know, torture them or not allow them to get an education. You know, their feeling was that the girls' only place is just, you know, just being quiet and submissive and in the kitchen or something like that. So, yeah, and the Muslim religion is just a lot of chauvinism there. So it's actually, and that's of course from the Middle East. Of course, you do have the Mughals who come from further north. But in any case, there's a lot of low-class people who came to India who influenced the traditional Indian culture. And therefore, that's why you have the chauvinism in India today. So getting back to Krishna consciousness, in Krishna consciousness, there is no question of chauvinism. Although sometimes devotees try to take verses out of context in the Bhagavad Gita or other verses about, you know, ladies like Sri Suja, Dvija Bandhunam. You know, there's that whole verse that anyone, be they of lower birth, like, and it mentions women, Shudras, Dvija Bandhus. But I got news for you that the men are not even... The men in Kali Yuga are not even mentioned in that verse. In other words, they're lower than even that. Because we're not Dvija Bandhus. I mean, in Kali Yuga, I mean, most of us had eaten meat before. So, even Ashwatthami wasn't a meat eater. So we're not, you know, it's just like Hare Krishna, you know. So the women are actually given a higher exalted position than the men in Kali Yuga. That's my opinion. So people take verses out of context to try to exploit ladies. And you see this, you know, really dramatically in India. I'm just reading a statistic that one out of every four ladies is raped in India. and some of that occurs within the family. So, I mean, it's just terrible. Just terrible what's happening. So, anyway, we don't want to just criticize what's happening in India. But in the Vedic literature, we have the conception that the Absolute Truth has a female aspect as well as a male aspect. And the female aspect controls, that is, Srimati Radharani, she controls the Supreme Personality of Godhead by her devotion. So the devotion is actually stronger than the power of God. And of course, in Nectar of Devotion, you find the six qualities of pure devotional service, one of which is it's basically the only means to control or attract Krishna. So it's, you know, very powerful. So all of us are working under the jurisdiction of Srimati Radharani. All of us who are in devotional service are working under her jurisdiction. So Vedic literatures present something that is completely acceptable in modern society. That's the point I'm making. Whereas the traditional religions, sometimes they try to make some adjustment, like when they translate the Bible, sometimes they try to say he, she. Sometimes he, she, / it. And they even take away God's gender. You know, God must be neuter then, according to them. So that's Mayavad philosophy, of course. And God does have a gender, and Radharani does have a gender. Anyway, so as far as Radharani's appearance, of course, Radharani and Krishna are eternally in Goloka Vrindavan. And the statement is Goloka eva nivasyati okilatma bhutaha. Krishna never leaves Goloka Vrindavan. He manifests himself in the earth, of course, in Gokul Vrindavan. But at the same time, he never leaves Goloka. It's not that people are bereft of his association at that particular point. And even Gokul, he never leaves Gokul Vrindavan. Although sometimes he's manifest and sometimes he's unmanifest. So when Krishna apparently goes to Mathura to kill his uncle Kamsa, actually he remains in Vrindavan, but invisible. And the expansion of Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna, is the one who goes to Mathura. So Krishna's always there, and Radharani's always there in Vrindavan. If you go there now, you can experience, if you're actually sincere and able to see beneath the veneer of Yogamaya, you can experience their presence in Braj. So the story in the, let's tell the story in the Vidagdha Madhava and the Lita Madhava, that about Radharani's appearance. So once upon a time, Krishna decided to go to the material world, and Radharani said, you know, I don't want to go there. just like, it's similar to the story where, you know, Krishna said to Prabhupada, you should come to the material world, and Prabhupada said, what, me go to that place? And then Krishna said, you have to go to write books about me. So in the same way, Krishna said to Radha that, you should go to the material world and we should enact our pastimes. And Radharani said, I don't want to go to that place. But Krishna said, and actually her reason was that I don't want to see all the rascals there. Like us. So I don't want to see any of those rascals. So Krishna said, all right, but the first person you'll see is me. So here's a story of a bird. It's quite interesting. Before she appeared in the house of Vrishabhanu and Kirtika, this story is from the Lita Madhava, that there was this mountain called Mount Vindhya, which actually Radharani appeared, which Radharani appeared from, Mount Vindhya. It's just like a mystical appearance, according to Srila Rupa Goswami. So Mount Vindhya was very envious of the Himalayas. The mountains actually have personalities. And the reason Mount Vindhya was very envious of the Himalayas, why? Does anyone know why? Because the Himalayas gave birth to... Yeah, but what's her name? Parvati. Parvati, you know, the daughter of the mountain, Parvati. So, therefore, Mount Vindhya went to Lord Brahma and said to Lord Brahma, I want to do better. You know, because Parvati married Lord Shiva. So Lord Brahma said, all right, you're going to have a daughter who's going to get married to someone who's going to defeat Lord Shiva. And that, of course, was Krishna. Like that. So, anyway, so, let's see. What is it? There's actually some interesting parts of the story. So then, Mount Vindhya gave birth to Srimati Radharani. She appeared from Mount Vindhya. And then Putana, understanding her position, kidnapped Radha because she was told to kill all the boys and kidnap the girls. Kamsa told her that. She was the buddy of Kamsa. And this is because Durga, when Kamsa actually attempted to kill Durga, and Durga flew up in the air like that. That was Devaki's child. Durga told Kamsa about the Sakis, not only about Krishna, someone will be born who is born elsewhere who will kill you, but there's these Sakis, these 8 Sakis. Sakis means friends. Actually, technically, it means girlfriends. A Saka means a friend who is a man, and then Saki means a girlfriend. And it's interesting that in the relationship, let's tell another story, between Draupadi and Krishna, Draupadi called Krishna Saka, my friend. They had this friendship, it wasn't a conjugal relationship. It was a friendship relationship between both of them. And Draupadi is sometimes called Krishna, because she is the complexion of Krishna, and also she's the friend of Krishna, very close to Krishna. And Krishna was continually saving her, too. So, then what happened is, after Radharani was kidnapped by Putana, that Vindhya's priest chanted a mantra, and some of the girls had a demon-killing mantra, and then some of the girls fell into the river. And they were saved, and they were saved. And actually, the story is that Bhishmaka, who is the father of Rukmini, that's how we found Rukmini. Mm. Interesting story, isn't it? Mm. Mm. And then another story is that this is from the priest Gargamuni, who was the priest of the Yadav dynasty, said that Radha appeared from Vrishabhanu's chest and was transferred by Yogamaya. When Putana was killed, Yogamaya took Radha and 5 others and placed them with Kirtana and Vrishabhanu. It's interesting, anyway. Very interesting story in the Yudhakara Madhava and Lalita Madhava. So, and Radha was taken care of by Yashoda's nurse, who was named Mukura. Mukura, there's a place in Mukura, which is right near Radhakund. I don't know if anyone's been there. Anyone been to Mukura's place? It's right up the road from Radhakund. And then, Lalita, in this way, Lalita, Padma, Bhadra, Shaivya, Shama, were retrieved because they were also kidnapped by Putana. And Vishaka was found floating in the Jamuna River. It's an interesting story. This is all from Rupa Goswami. Anyway, so that's the story of the appearance of Srimati Radharani. And of course, after she appeared, or when she appeared, she was born blind. And so, Vrishabhanu and Kirtana were very worried. And they were wondering, what should we do? We want to have this name-giving ceremony for her. But it's not so auspicious to have a blind child. And they were advised by the sages, especially Narada Muni, you should go ahead and have this name-giving ceremony. And they called for all the different residents around there. Of course, Radharani appeared in Ravel. Sometimes you'll hear the propaganda in Vrindavan that Radharani appeared in Barshana. But that's not our Sampradaya. In our Sampradaya, we accept Radharani appeared in Ravel. Ravel is all the way on the other side of the Yamuna River. It's pretty close to Gokul. Anyone here been to Ravel? Mm-hmm. Some of you have been to Ravel. It's a very beautiful, isolated place. It's not like Barshana that's completely packed solid with people, and people are just like demanding money from you. And So anyway, so it's near Gokul. So in the beginning, Krishna, of course, appeared in Gokul, and Radharani appeared in Ravel, and that's where they had their interactions. So what happened is that Krishna and his parents were invited to the name-giving ceremony for Srimati Radharani. And they came, and Krishna, of course, was crawling. And Radharani, she was just blind at that particular point. And Krishna sort of crawled up to Radharani, and she smelled his fragrance. And she opened her eyes, and she saw Krishna. And everyone was very happy because Radharani was able to see for the first time. So in this way, they were both in Gokul. Later on, they were to escape from the demons in Gokul. They went to Vrindavan. And later on after that, they went to Varshana and Nandagram. So Varshana and Nandagram, it's obvious that she didn't appear in Varshana because Varshana and Nandagram were later on in the pastimes when they were older. You understand? Because they were escaping the demons from Gokul. Of course, demons also came to Nandagram too, so the demons weren't just confined to Gokul. So, anyway, so that's the story of Radharani's appearance, and I'd like to read a little bit from the Nectar of Devotion, some quotes about Radharani, and then if we have time, I have a little slideshow about Radharani's appearance in this. Anyway, you'll see it when we play it. So there's some quotes from Prabhupada's book about Radharani. Of course, the word, the name Radharani is not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the reason for that is that Shukadeva Goswami was understood to be the parrot of Srimati Radharani. Radharani had many different pets. You know, pet parrot, and Krishna had pets like a pet peacock, and all sorts of different pets. So this parrot... When Radharani, this is a whole story told by Guru Govinda Maharaj, when Radharani and Krishna disappeared from Vrindavan, the parrot was feeling very remorseful, very sad. And the parrot wanted to hear Srimad Bhagavatam to assuage its depression. So what happened is the parrot was looking around for where Srimad Bhagavatam was being spoken, and Lord Shiva was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Parvati. And some of you heard this story before. But Parvati was doing what most people do during Bhagavatam. Sleeping. And the parrot, though, was imitating her voice just so that Lord Shiva would continue with the Bhagavatam recital. And the parrot was going, very nice. In Parvati's voice. And Lord Shiva looked up and he saw that his wife was sleeping and the parrot was doing whatever the parrot was doing. And he started chasing the parrot. At the same time, Srila Vyasadeva was giving class to his wife. But she was actually awake. And she had her mouth open and the parrot flew into the mouth. So anyway, so that's the story. I mean, that's the story of Guru Govinda Maharaj told. So it's an interesting story. So, but it's actually, so in this way, Shukadeva Goswami was the parrot of Srimati Radharani. And so what happened is, of course, he took 16 years to be born. It's a long time. And he ran away from home, you know, took sannyas immediately without even bothering to put clothes on. I mean, he just ran away. And he preached the Srimad Bhagavatam to Pritchard Maharaj and the other sages that were assembled there. So Shukadeva Goswami, being a great devotee of Srimati Radharani, was subjected to what we call Vyabhachari Bhavas, which means uncontrolled ecstasy that just occurs without any warning. There's 33 Vyabhachari Bhavas, and some of them are devastation, even death. Not that someone actually dies, but they're almost dead. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he first went into the temple of Lord Jagannath, people thought he was dead because his breathing just about stopped and they had to hold a little piece of cotton in front of his nose just to see that there was a little air. And then they took him to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, chanted Hare Krishna, and came back to consciousness. And from that day forward, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only went to the Garuda Stamba to see Lord Jagannath, and he always went with someone to protect him. Whereas Lord Nityananda, he did something the opposite when he saw Lord Jagannath. He ran up and wanted to hug Lord Jagannatha. And the guards tried to stop him. And the guards actually flew back in the air like 30 meters, you know, as soon as they got near Lord Nityananda. But anyway, that's another ecstatic symptom is you want to hug the Lord. So Sukadeva Goswami was afraid of ecstatic symptoms. And because of that, he didn't want to mention Radharani's name directly, although there's some indirect reference. Aradita means she who worships. So he mentions indirectly the person who worships, or the gopi, like that. So it's obvious Radharani is being mentioned, but he obviously didn't want to say Radha. And this is, you know, it's because it's very, very exalted. Nowadays, devotees have become very loose with this, and they're chanting Radha, Radha, Radhe, Radhe. I remember there's one country I go to. It's in several countries in the Balkan area where they're very much inclined towards taking things a little cheaply and emotionally. They're very emotional people. And one time I was staying at someone's house, and in the next room, these two ladies were chanting Radhe, Radhe all night long. And I couldn't sleep. Ecstasy was interfering with my sleeping. So. But it happens like that in some of the countries. You know, people with a lot of emotions. Not to criticize anyone, but people have emotions. So that's why Radharani's name is not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's read about some, let's read some quotes from the Nectar of Devotion, because this is my primary source. Concerning Radharani's activities. In the Krishna Karnamrita, there is another statement about the chanting of Radharani. It is said by one of the associates of Srimati Radharani, O Lord Govinda, the girl who is the daughter of King Vrishabhanu is now shedding tears, and she is anxiously chanting your name, Krishna, Krishna. Of course, one thing I wanted to mention, too, is that Radharani is a left-handed gopi. There's right-handed gopis and left-handed gopis. That doesn't mean they write with their right hand and write with their left hand. The right-handed gopis are like Chandravali, who are very submissive and never argue with Krishna. And the left-handed ones are ones that are sometimes very oppositional to Krishna. Because that gives Krishna pleasure. Like when Krishna was in Dwarka, he tried to make Rukmini angry with him. And he said to her, even though she was a grandmother, he said that, you know, you should get remarried. Basically, you marry the wrong guy. You know, you could have married that Shishupal, who was quite a nice chap. Of course, by that time, he was dead. But anyway, so you could have married him, and nobody knows my caste. And so instead of arguing with him, she fainted. And Krishna had to manifest two extra arms to catch her. So, she's submissive. She's actually considered Chandravali. And at the same time, Satyabhama, we mentioned this the other day, that Satyabhama is considered an expansion of Srimati Radharani. Satyabhama is very unsubmissive. When she heard that Rukmini got a Parijata flower, she started nagging Krishna. You know, you love her more than me. And then Krishna finally had to get a whole tree to satisfy her, and then he had to fight all the demigods just to satisfy his wife. Yes, it's a fact. He was fighting all the demigods. And Krishna acts sometimes like a henpecked husband. You know what henpecked means? Henpecked husband. Henpecked is like a hen pecking. You know, hen means a female chicken. So Krishna acts like that, and he enjoys being henpecked. Because they're doing it out of love. And so the same way Radharani sometimes expresses her mana or her anger towards Krishna. There's this even one place called Manasarovara in Vrindavan, in Braj, where Krishna actually gets down on his hands and knees and he starts crying, please forgive me. Because Radharani is just so angry with him. And sometimes in order to associate with Srimati Radharani, Krishna has to put on different guises. Sometimes he dresses like a sannyasi, fortune teller, so he can hold her hand and tell her future, and then he grabs her hand, and then, anyway, and then you understand. Sometimes he dresses in drag. You know what drag means? No, you don't know what that means. Some of the Kiwis will understand that word. Isn't it? Like drag means he dresses like a woman. And so he can associate with Krishna. There's that whole Gauri Kund story that I've told many times, where Krishna was with Radharani in this place, Gauri Kund, and he was dressed as a woman because she wouldn't see him otherwise. And Radharani's so-called mother-in-law, and also so-called husband, came in on them because they thought that Krishna was with Radharani. Actually, they were right. But then they just saw Krishna dressed as the deity, because he had the deity jewelry on. Krishna dressed as the deity with Radharani, and thought Radharani was just worshipping Durga. And then Krishna, who's Durga, threatened them. He said, because you don't trust Radharani, etc., you're going to die very soon. Abhimanyu comes, is going to kill you. So, as a result, you know, they gave up their distrust towards Radharani, allowed her to do whatever she wanted, which was associated with Krishna. So they were tricked by Krishna's dressing as a woman. And many, many times there'll be tricks. I mean, Krishna, there's the stories by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur where Krishna wants to associate with Radharani, and then Mother Yashoda is packing some jewels for Srimati Radharani and calling Abhimanyu, that is Radharani's so-called husband, to carry the jewels back to his wife. And so what Krishna does, he takes the jewels out of the box and puts himself in the box, and then Radharani's so-called husband carries Krishna back to be with his wife. I mean, that's really an insult. Can you imagine? You know, someone says, I have a present for your wife, and it's your wife's a boyfriend. And you don't know. And then he brings the box into Radharani's room and says, you know, you should enjoy and decorate yourself with whatever is in this box. Then he leaves the room, and out pops Krishna. Krishna in the box, like Jack in the box. You know? Krishna pops out, and she says, I have to follow my mother-in-law and my husband's advice, you know. Whenever they instructed me, I have to decorate myself with Krishna. So many tricks are there. Also, this coward boy, Subal, looks very similar to Srimati Radharani. So sometimes, if Krishna wants to associate with Radharani, he has Subal take her place. You know, Subal walks into her house, and then he says to her mother-in-law, her mother-in-law, Jatila, who's extremely beautiful. Yeah, because if you go to Yavat, where their house is, anyone's been to Yavat here? You've been to Yavat? There's actually deities of Jatila, Kutila, and Abhimanyu. They're quite ugly. And so he says to Jatila that I've lost my calf. So I'm looking for a calf, so please let me into your yard. So he goes into the yard, exchanges clothes with Srimati Radharani, who looks very similar to him. And she, in order to disguise her bodily features, holds the calf up like that. She said, I found the calf. What's that? So, I mean, there's so many tricky pastimes that occur. But and of course there's that tax pastime that I've told many times that took place in Dandanivartana Kunda. There's this place called Dangati. That's a path over Govardhan Hill where the gopis would regularly bring their milk products. And this particular instance, they were bringing milk products to Govindakund because there was a sacrifice there. And Krishna stopped them and said, you got to pay taxes. And at that point, Krishna was enumerating, or that is, trying to add up the taxes. How much that? He said, for your beautiful smile, you should pay so many gold coins. And he, you know, went over all of her transcendental body and was taxing every part of her body. And then eventually they all got so angry at Krishna, they started fighting, and then Yogamaya sort of like did a mediation there, said that the next day they'll come back and pay their taxes. So the next day they came back with 10 million gopis, or they overpowered Krishna, the coward boys, tied them to trees, and took sticks to them. And it's very interesting, you know, the idea of the women beating the men. That's the opposite of what happens now. So And even in Barshana, during Holi, you have the women beating the men. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I told the story that by accident I've gone there on that day. And I almost got killed. And I was full of colors, and they were beating me too. Because that's, you're supposed to hold a shield so they don't hit you directly, but I didn't have a shield with me. Anyway, so that's in reference to Radharani's man, or anger. Okay, so let's read some more. So, let's see. Oh, here's another. A person is called a genius when he can refute any kind of opposing element with newer and newer arguments. In this connection, there is a statement in the Pajavali which contains the following conversation between Radha and Krishna. One morning, Krishna came to Radha, and Radha asked him, "My dear Keshava, where is your vasa at present?" The Sanskrit word vasa has three meanings. One meaning is residence, one meaning is fragrance, and another meaning is dress. Actually, Radharani inquired from Krishna, "Where is your dress?" But Krishna took the meaning as residence, and he replied to Srimati Radharani, "My dear captivated one, at the present moment my residence is in your beautiful eyes." Very romantic. To this, Radharani replied, "My dear cunning boy, I did not ask you about your residence. I inquired about your dress." Krishna then took the meaning of vas as fragrance, and he said, "My dear fortunate one, I have just assumed this fragrance in order to be associated with your body." Srimati Radharani again inquired from Krishna, "Where did you pass your night?" The exact Sanskrit word used in this connection was yaminya muchita. Yaminya means at night, and uchita means pass. Krishna, however, divided the word into two separate words, namely yaminya and muchita. By dividing this word into two, it came out to mean that he was kidnapped by yamini, or night. Krishna therefore replied to Radharani, "My dear Radharani, is it possible that night can kidnap me?" In this way, he was answering all the questions of Srimati Radharani so cunningly that he gladdened this dearest of the gopis. That was very nice. So this is another. Oh, yeah. This is one of the ecstatic symptoms called rolling on the ground. One gopi gave a message to Krishna that Radharani, because of her separation from him and because of her enchantment with the aroma of his flower garlands, was rolling on the ground, thereby bruising her soft body. Another ecstatic symptom is called singing loudly. One gopi informed Krishna that when Srimati Radharani was singing about his glories, she chanted all of her friends in such a way that they became stone-like and dull. At the same time, the nearby stones began to melt away in ecstatic love. Another ecstatic symptom is yawning. That's not when you yawn, but it's when you yawn, you're just tired. It is said, when the full moon rises, the lotus petals become expanded. Similarly, when Krishna used to appear before Srimati Radharani, her face, which is compared to the lotus flower, would expand by her yawning. Another one is belching. Sometimes, Prabhupada says, belching also becomes a symptom of ecstatic love for Krishna. There is evidence of this in Purnamasi's address to one crying associate of Radharani. "My dear daughter, don't be worried because Srimati Radharani is belching. I am about to offer a remedial measure for this symptom. Do not cry so loudly. This belching is not due to indigestion. It is a sign of ecstatic love for Krishna. I shall immediately arrange to cure this belching symptom, a meat symptom. Don't be worried. This statement by Purnamasi is evidence that ecstatic love for Krishna is sometimes manifested through belching." So, trembling. That's another ecstatic symptom. When Krishna was trying to capture the demon, because the Sanskrit's not pronounced here properly. Arishta. Srimati Radharani began trembling out of fearfulness. Similar trembling of her body was exhibited by Sahadeva. Trembling of the body was also exhibited by Radharani out of tribulation. Radharani trembled as she told one of the gopis, "Don't joke with this disappointing boy. Please ask him not to approach me because he is always the cause of all grief for all of us. And the Dhanakeli Komadi, Srimati Radharani, addresses one of her friends in this manner. My dear friend, if I cannot hear of the glorious activities of Krishna, it is better for me to become deaf. And because I am now unable to see him, it would be good for me to be a blind woman. This is another instance of disappointment due to separation from Krishna. Here's another symptom of ecstasy, guilt. One day, Srimati Radharani was churning yogurt for Krishna. At that time, the jeweled bangles on her hands were circling around, and she was also chanting Krishna's name. All of a sudden, she thought, I'm chanting the holy name of Krishna, and my superiors, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, may hear me. But Radharani became over-anxious. This is an instance of feeling guilty because of devotion to Krishna. It's nice. One day, the beautiful-eyed Srimati Radharani entered into the forest to collect some flowers to prepare a garland for Krishna. While collecting the flowers, she became afraid that someone might see her, and she felt some fatigue and weakness. This is an instance of guilty feelings caused by labor for Krishna. There is a statement in the Rasa Sudhakara that after passing the night with Krishna, Radharani became so weak that she was unable to get up from bed. When Krishna took her hand to help her, Radharani felt guilty about having passed the night with him. And that now this intoxication is another ecstatic symptom. Sometimes she was walking hither and thither. Sometimes she was laughing. Sometimes she was covering her face. Sometimes she was talking without any meaning. And sometimes she was praying to her associate gopis. Seeing these symptoms, and Srimati Radharani, the gopis began to talk among themselves. Just see how Radharani has become intoxicated simply by seeing Krishna before her. This is an instance of ecstatic love and intoxication. Pride. Sometimes, Srimati Radharani felt pride within herself and said, although the coward boys prepare nice flower garlands for Krishna, when I present my garland to him, he becomes struck with wonder and immediately accepts it and puts it over his heart. That's nice. And just one more, and then maybe we can show this little slideshow. Confusion. One day, when Srimati Radharani was feeling much affliction because of her separation from Krishna, she went to the bank of the Yamuna with some of her friends. There, Radharani saw a cottage wherein she and Krishna had experienced many loving pleasures. And by remembering these incidents, she immediately became overcome with dizziness. This dizziness was very prominently visible. This is an instance of confusion caused by separation. Let's see, anything else? When Srimati Radharani first saw Krishna, she suddenly became conscious of all transcendental happiness, and the functions of her different limbs were stunned. When Lalita, her constant companion, whispered into her ear the holy name of Krishna, Radharani immediately opened her eyes wide, and this is an instance of alertness caused by hearing the sound of Krishna's name. This one final story is not here, but I'll just tell it, is that in Vrindavan, Radharani was feeling guilty one time because she thought that she was in love with three different people. And she thought there were three different personalities. There was the person whose name was Krishna, the blackish boy that she was seeing. Who was the third one? Let's see, there were three. And, let's see, the name? The person whose name was Krishna, the blackish boy who she saw. And what was the third one? I forget right now. This is from the story from the Vidagda Madhava. And let's see, the blackish boy, the person whose name is Krishna. Oh, the person who plays the flute. There's the three of them. And then she was telling Lalita, actually, I'm guilty of unchastity. I'm not being chaste because I'm in love with three different men. And then Lalita and Vishaka revealed to her they're all the same person. And she felt better. Okay, so maybe we should see this little slideshow about Radharani's appearance. It just takes a second. It's getting late. So you can put this in the wall. It just takes a second. You can put it on the wall there.
Okay.
The slideshow is just about Ravel, which is Radharani's appearance place.
His appearance, the So
Srimati Radharani, who read this, appeared on the eighth day of the waxing moon of Rishikesh, that's the month, at noon. In Goloka, Radharani goes to Barshana for her appearance day celebration. So in Goloka, you know, Barshana is the place of Radharani's appearance day because Radharani in Goloka is never a little baby. She's always 16 years old there. Sridham, Radharani's brother or her mother, Kirtani, comes and picks her up from Yava, her mother-in-law's house, mother-in-law Jatila's house, and takes her to Barshana, where there's a three-day celebration for her appearance day. Krishna comes from Nandagram and stays for 3 days to participate in the festival. And of course, Radha and Krishna enjoy unlimitedly their ever-new pastimes and their secret hideouts, even in the house of Vrishabhanu and Kirtida Devi. That's why everyone goes to Barshana on Radhasami at 4:30 from Mangalarti at the Sriji temple there. So her appearance is celebrated there, although in the material world she doesn't appear there. So she actually appears in Ravel. There's a little map. Ravel is about 9 km from Mathura on the other side of the river, you see. Gokul is really close to there, and Dauji is the place of Balaram. Mm-hmm. So you got to cross the river from Mathura. And this is a picture of Ravel. It's a really isolated place. And when you go there, you experience the mood of separation from Srimati Radharani and her devotees. These are different pictures from Ravel. We've taken devotees there a number of times. And a very small temple called the Bari Lal Temple. And there's very beautiful deities there. Sweet deities, very small deities of Radha Krishna, who were stolen by Krishna's great-grandson, Rajanava, who went to Vrindavan, or the Braj area, and he was the one who established the original deities there. And many of these deities were taken to other places, like Radha Govindaji in Jaipur, and Radhavan Mohan, to escape from the Muslims. But these are the original deities that are there. And that's the temple. And you can climb to the roof. And the Jamuna used to flow right by this temple. 5,000 years ago, is the old Jamuna bed. You know, just very ordinary temple. So it's no crowds there. That's why it's very sweet to go there. And Radharani's appearance or any other day, because you can really be immersed in the transcendental mood of Srimati Radharani and not be overwhelmed by all the people and crowds. And right next to the temple is Radharani's garden. Of course, it's not taken care of well now. And there's a Radha Krishna tree. That's blackish and white, right next to the temple. And there's a very nice village there. When we were there last time, we were there a few months ago, that we took some aerial photos of the place, and because we have this little helicopter there, UAV, and the kids were just like surrounding us, thousands of kids were surrounding us, because there's a school right there. So I'm a goddess worshipped by the kings of sages, O goddess who removes the sufferings of the three worlds, O goddess whose face is a blossoming lotus, O goddess who enjoys pastimes in the forest, O daughter of Vrishabhanu, O companion of Raja's prince, when will you cast your merciful glance upon me? And quote, from the Radha Kripa Katash Kataksha Stavaraj, which is from the Urdhva Naya Tantras, and it's actually a quote from Lord Shiva. O Queen of Vedic sacrifices, O Queen of pious activities,
O queen of the material world, O queen of the demigods, O queen of Vedic scholarship, O queen of knowledge, O queen of the goddesses of fortune, O queen of patience, O queen of Vrindavan, the forest of happiness, O queen of Braj, O empress of Braj, O Sri Radhika, I offer my obeisances unto you. And that's it. Short slideshow. Okay, I think we should end because we have a lot of visits today, right? All glorious to Shri Mataji, all glorious to Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.